When I was 12, I went to the record store in the new mall and smeared what was left of my slice of Sbarro's pizza all over every last item in the classical aisle. I had to hold albums to know if I truly wanted them. After 10 minutes, my mother yelled from the mall concourse, "Hey, bub, time to go." So I grabbed a cassette of Mozart's Sinfonia Concertante with the Cleveland Orchestra. It wasn't clear to me what Sinfonia meant, much less concertante, but I knew the Cleveland Orchestra was legendary. Back at home, I shut my door, wrestled off the cellophane, put the tape on, and heard a story unfold. Ah, yes, Mozart. The music was lovely, fine, elegant, just what I expected. As you will discover, I was the kind of kid who thought he'd already figured out Mozart, but could barely tie his shoelaces. A couple minutes in, something odd happened. A few buzzing trills. Possibly nothing. A side idea, branching off the piece's tree, climbing a few notes. But then, there were a few more. I was sure they must be done now, but then again, there were more, louder, higher. Had Mozart lost his mind? I'd been practicing trills at the piano, and as far as I could tell, they were charming decoration. A detail, like a turned leg on a chair, or molding around the ceiling of a room. But not here. Mozart was letting the detail take over and outgrow itself. He was creating a massive imbalance in his balanced world, for reasons unknown. A trill is the closest you can get at the piano to the vibrato of the human voice, and that's what I felt. The notes were vibrating with energy. They climbed a major scale. Now, I was also practicing scales, of course. Scales were the ultimate joyless task, an endless and recursive tedium. But at this moment, strange to say, it seemed like I was the scale. The growing, climbing notes were mapping onto me everywhere, rising in my chest, changing my breath and in the balls of my feet, making me stand on my toes. I was no longer receiving music from without, but being filled from within, like a balloon. This feeling was so intense that for once I didn't have time to overthink. At last, these trills found a thrilling marching climax. "Here we are," the music seemed to say, "striding on top of this hill we've climbed." The violins syncopated against the march and the violas, grooving on all the excitement. I danced around my tiny square of shag carpet for a few seconds, imagining this was the point. I said to myself, "Yes, I get it now." But as I lifted my foot to come down on the next chord, the music shifted from loud to soft, creating an unusual paradox, a shock of gentleness. I looked over at my cassette player, nestled between all my childhood books and one sex-crammed novel that I'd stolen from my father's shelf. A second of amazement halted mid-dance like Wile E. Coyote when he realizes he's gone off a cliff. Normal musical time stopped. Most of the orchestra went into holding mode. The only exception was the violin section. They were still syncopating, even though they had no beat to syncopate against. The reason for their rhythm had vanished, but the urge remained. I didn't realize that the violins were descending the same scale we'd just climbed. I only knew that the notes were beautiful, but also dissonant, and I wanted to hold on to them to everyone, but such is life. Each kept sliding on to the next. In that bizarre, melting moment, one of Mozart's greatest inspirations, I was eager to be brave. I wanted to throw open my door and share the moment with my parents. I might have taken the unusual step of being nice to my brother. But I worried my father would make a joke, or my brother would think I was showing off, or my mother would ask why I hadn't dusted the living room. So I sat on the floor next to my bed and played the same bit over and over, stirring the air like a stew, keeping the joy to myself, even though the essence of it was feeling as though you wanted to embrace the whole world.